Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening on this Father's Day 2016. We're sure glad that you're up and awake, although I'm sure that there are many that are asleep at this hour. Glad that you're listening in on either 920 KBAD AM or 92.3 Comp FM. We're sure glad that we're able to be able to broadcast on both of those stations. This morning, we're going to take a break from our series on forgiveness. I hope you've been listening to all of those, and we're not done with that yet because next week, we're going to be focusing on forgiveness and others. We've talked about forgiveness and God. Next week, we want to start talking about forgiveness and others. But this week, let's talk about being a man. And you say, wait a minute, I thought you were going to talk about fathers. Well, to be a father, you have to be a man. And you ought to be a man before you become a father. You know, there's way too many young people that aren't thinking with their minds, and they're not thinking about reality, and become fathers when they're not even ready for it in the slightest. And that's too bad. It's not anything that can be overcome with God's help, but I'm just saying that men and young men, be a man before you start bringing children into the world. And do it God's way. Do it the right way. Bring those children into a place and a time in a marriage relationship where you have found the woman that you want to spend the rest of your life with, a woman that loves God more than she loves you, and that you're always going to be in that relationship with that one woman for the rest of your life. I know that goes against the grain of everything that's going on in our society today, but it's God's way, and it's the best way. And if you don't believe me, try it. I've been married to my beautiful wife for almost 26 years this month, and it just keeps getting better and better. And I hope those of you that have been in a marriage relationship at least that long or way longer than that would say, yes, indeed, that relationship just gets sweeter as the years go by because our relationship with God just get sweeter as the years go by. And so we want men to be men, and so they can be godly men, so they can be good fathers, so they can make a difference in their families' lives, in the life of the church, in their work, in their education, in all aspects of life, that we would be men that impact the world. Ladies, it's Father's Day, and so we're going to focus on the men, but hey, God needs some women that are going to be godly women too and do things the way God would have them to do it as well. All right, I'd like you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 17 if you're looking up scriptures. If not, just listen in. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 17. Ezekiel was a prophet of God that spoke the word of the Lord to the nation of Israel, specifically Judah, and tried to get them to understand that they needed to turn back to God. They need to repent of the way that they were living and the way that they were conforming to the society around them instead of listening to God and being in fellowship with God. Listen to Ezekiel 22, starting in verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are the copper, tin, iron, and lead left inside a furnace. They are but the dross of silver. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Because you all have become dross, I will gather you into Jerusalem. As men gather silver, copper, iron, lead, and tin into a furnace to melt it with a fiery blast, so will I gather you in my anger and my wrath and put you inside the city and melt you. I will gather you, and I will blow on you with my fiery wrath, and you will be melted inside her. As silver is melted in a furnace, so you will be melted inside her, and you will know that I, the Lord, have poured my wrath upon you. Again the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has no rain or showers in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes or prophets within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, taking treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion, commit robbery, they oppress the poor and needy, and mistreat the alien, denying them justice. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down all on their own heads all that they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Whew! Man, that is a passage of scripture. And I'll tell you, it's a passage of judgment. It's a passage of God's wrath and his holy indignation and righteousness against wickedness and ungodliness in his own people that should have known better. And this is why he was looking for a man who would stand before him on behalf of the land. Amen. You know, when he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, when he was going to destroy those cities, and Abraham was kind of shocked, and he said, well, Lord, what about the righteous people? And he started with 50, and he ultimately got it down to 10 people. Just 10 people. That in Genesis 18, Lord, if there's only 10 people, will you spare it for the sake of 10? And the Lord said, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. That was Sodom and Gomorrah. That was a vile place of just raunch, debauchery, and lack of kindness, and just gross immorality. And yet God said, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. Here, in Jerusalem, he's saying, I look for a man among them. Even if it's just one man who would stand in the gap on behalf of the land so I'd not destroy it. I found none. Wow, that's a pretty sad state of affairs, isn't it? Pretty sad state of affairs. And so there was no one that would stand up. Now, there's always a remnant, but obviously they weren't in Jerusalem at that particular time. And so we need to recognize that God's mercy and his patience and his love and his kindness are also balanced with his holiness and his justice and his righteousness. And sure, God is patient with us. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants us to repent. He wants us to come to our senses, just like he wanted Jerusalem to turn back then. Unfortunately, they didn't listen, and ultimately he used the nation of Babylon to come in and take them away. Now, why did I start with that passage? Well, there should have been at least one. There should be many, just like there should be today. You know, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses tells Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, God's people, the men of the nation of God, the fathers, they were to teach their children. They and their wives were to impress on their children the things of God so that their children would understand these things and follow in those ways as well. If you continue on in verse 10, it says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and the decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so that it may go well with you and that you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all of your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. And so it was the fathers, it was their parents that were to impress those things upon them so that they would never forget God. They would never forget God's commandments and God's decrees and God's amazing, wonderful wisdom. Everything God gave the nation of Israel was for their good, to keep them separate from the ungodliness of the nations around them, to be a chosen people that proclaim the goodness of God in bringing them out of slavery from the land of Egypt and bringing them into a good land. But over the years, they forgot about all of those things, despite the warnings, despite the prophets, despite his word. They still rejected him and they still went the way of the world around him. Men, fathers, seek God. Be a man that will stand in the gap. Be a man that teaches your children if you have them. Be a man that if you don't have children yet, be determined that when you do, you're going to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. If you have children that are your in-laws or nephews or cousins, or they're your stepchildren or whatever the case may be a man and teach them about God. Teach them about the ways of God and do your best to example it and lead it and show it in your life, not just teach it. And so, wow, what a powerful couple of scriptures to consider and think about. We're going to listen to our first song this morning by Newsboys called God's Not Dead. Let's listen up.
Explode and bring the day said he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. He's roaring like a lion. Let hope arise and make the darkness hide.
Alright, in the second session, I wanna challenge you to be a godly man. I wanna challenge you, I wanna challenge myself to be a godly man. And if you're already there, great. Continue it. Become more and more Christ-like. Become more of a godly man. Don't ever be satisfied thinking that you've arrived, because I know as much as I strive, I still fall short, and I need to be challenged, I need to be rebuked, I need to be encouraged to be the kind of man that God wants me to be a good husband and a good father and a good preacher and a good member of our society. That's the kind of person that I want to be for God's honor, for God's glory. And so God sought for a man among them. What about you? Okay, he's seeking for a man who, first of all, wants God's best. Do you want God's best in your life? In other words, do you want God's blessing? Do you want God's favor? Do you want God to look on you with appreciation and to be able to say, like he said of Job, there's no one like him. There's no one like him that fears God and shuns evil. That's the kind of man that I want to strive to be, a man who wants God's blessings in my life. Money and power and fame and all those things, those are all things that are gonna go away, and they can come and go just that fast. But a faithful man of God, wow, that's a treasure. That's a treasure to God and to the rest of the world. Okay, God wants a man who will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, don't worry about all the other things of life. You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Will you be that kind of man, friend? Will you be that kind of man? Will you challenge and encourage others to be that kind of a man? A man that recognizes God and that wants God's very best for his own life and for those around him. Wow, if more men would have that desire, I wonder what the world would look like. Number two, God wants a man who's going to be an example. God wants a man who's going to be an example. You know, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay, everyone needs examples. And we're either going to be a positive example or a negative example. Now, a lot of the times we're probably a little bit of both, unfortunately. It'd be nice if we could say we're always a positive example. But, well, sometimes people can even learn from our bad example sometimes. But we want to be more characterized by our good example. We want to be a good example, men, to our wives if we are married. We want to be good examples to them and say, hey, I will treat you honorably. I will treat you just like Christ treats you. He purchased you with his blood. I'm going to love you like Christ loved his church. Men, what kind of difference do you think that would make in our marriages if we treated our wives like that more consistently? Okay, we want to be an example to our wives. We want to be an example to our children. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. In other words, don't be one way one day and one day be something else. Don't exasperate them. Don't always make them wonder which one you are, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. Be a consistent dad. Be as consistent as you possibly can. Keep bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And when you blow it, be willing to admit it to your children. Hey, that was the wrong thing for me to do. It was a bad example. You know, that's not the kind of example I want you to see. We want to be not only Christians in name, but in deed. I shared this with the church the other day. If you were convicted as a Christian, would there be enough evidence to actually convict you or condemn you for being a Christian? God wants some men that are going to be examples to their home, to the world, and the church. Be a Christian, not just in name, but in deed. Number three, God's looking for a man who's not ashamed to be seen in prayer. Hey, prayer is not wimpy. Prayer is not just for sissies or babies or men that don't have it all together. No way. The only way that I keep my life together is through prayer. Is through a recognition of my Heavenly Father and a trust and a dependence and a calling upon him to strengthen me in my weakness, to make straight the path and to be there for me. I want to be a man of prayer. Paul told the Ephesians, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. We ought to not only pray for our wife and our children, but pray with them. Now, maybe you're not going to be able to pray with them all the time, but be willing to pray and set aside times to pray and make sure that whether you're praying with them or not consistently all the time, that you're asking them if they are being close and intimate to God in prayer. Your wife, your children, those around you, it's always a good thing to be able to ask somebody, hey, what can I pray about for you? You can do that to those who are believers, who are unbelievers. You know, everybody understands in some way kind of what prayer is. And it's amazing the doors that you can open if you'll set an example on prayer. And sometimes don't just tell people you're going to pray for them. Pray for them right then. Just say, hey, let's pray right now. Really? Right here? Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay, I'm not ashamed of being a man of prayer. I'm not afraid to get down on my knees or on my face and pray for somebody, or even just in any circumstance, be willing to pray. And so be a man who prays, okay? Don't be a wimp and not pray. Be a man who prays. Number four, God's looking for a man who will faithfully encourage the other men of the church, God's people. We want to be encouraging to all people, but I love what Hebrews chapter 10 says. Hebrews chapter 10, he says in verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Men, let me ask you something. Do you lead your families in this way? When the church comes together, are you there? Do you bring your children to Sunday school? Do you bring your children to worship? Do you bring your children to outreaches and other things that the church does? Do you open up your home to other Christians so that, you know, your church family knows that you care about them? Are you faithful to God's people here on earth? Or, you know, is life just all about you? I mean, I'm glad that the church at Las Vegas meets on Sunday morning at 9:30 and Sunday morning at 10:30 and Sunday evening at 6 o'clock and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. I love it that we have opportunities, and, you know, sometimes we have more, sometimes we have less public opportunities. Sometimes we meet in people's homes. Sometimes we just do all kinds of things. This Saturday, we're going to be doing an outreach over at Cashman Field behind Cashman Middle School there, and just let people know that, hey, there's a church in the neighborhood that cares, and how can we help you? We want to share with you the love of God, and we want to encourage you to come and learn about him. Well, men, are you faithful in your attendance, coming together with God's people in a congregation? Are you doing that, or are you just letting your wife and your kids do that? Be a man. Be a godly man and go to church meetings and learn and grow together with the rest of God's people. Number five, we need to be a man who is approved. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, I love what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Gentlemen, are you approved of God? Do you handle the word of God? Are you learning? Are you growing in it? Do you love to learn? Do you love to grow in grace and knowledge? Are you a man approved by God? If not, what are you going to do about it? All right? Hey, What a challenge. And boy, I'll tell you what, I've got three fingers pointing back at myself this morning, because God is so good that we all fall short of his glory. But it's my desire, and I want it to be your desire, to just continue to seek him and to grow in him and to be more approved of him and to have more of his word hidden in your heart and live that. Don't just know it, live it, do it. It's like James says, don't be merely hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so God wants a man who does what's best, and he wants God's best in his life. A man who's a good example, a man who's not ashamed to be seen in prayer, a man who faithfully comes together with God's people to encourage them, a man who's approved by God Almighty above. Are you that man? Hey, we want to extend a welcome to you to attend the church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. Again, we meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. You can find us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and we are out of time. And so I want to encourage you to just keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Men, happy Father's Day.